Welcome to Movie Crush, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to Mini Crush Monday with Noel Brown and Charles W. Bryant.
It is I, Noel Brown, and you, Charles W. Bryant.
is that the ghost of Rod Roddy or something?
It's the ghost of Movie Crush's past. Chuck. Oh,
I guess we are headed toward the holiday season where
ghosts
come out to teach us stories about our life and how we have not lived it correctly.
Thanksgiving ghosts, right? Well, I mean, people kind of skip things. You notice how the stores just skip Thanksgiving?
What do you mean?
I guess, like, they skip it. Like, it just goes straight from Halloween to Christmas. Like, there's really no in between. Like,
well, I guess
Thanksgiving doesn't have, like, a prominent decor, I suppose.
They sell turkeys.
Well, they do sell turkeys. I just mean in terms of, like, you know, the kitschy stuff. Like, the holiday paraphernalia, if
you
will.
Yeah, what we do we have a bit of a fall wreath that we put on our door.
Oh.
And that's about it. We leave up, we got this little sort of fall scarecrow looking guy from Halloween that I think we're going to leave out on the porch.
Yeah.
But a lot of people are already decorating for Christmas and all because people are just trying to spread a little bit of joy in this
little bit of joy
dark world.
bleak times. Getting a little less, I don't know. I don't want to speak too soon. But I will say that it's nice to hear that there's, you know, progress being made on the
vaccine front.
The vaccine front.
Sure.
Did you hear that Dolly Parton put up a bunch of personal money for one of those?
That's like, that's about as 2020 as it gets right there. Because she's so hot right now as far as in the zeitgeist kind of more than she has been in a while.
Yeah.
And then for her to be behind one of the vaccines is pretty 2020 and amazing.
Do you think somebody found that out? I mean, she strikes me as the kind of person that wouldn't want to be like, hey, look at me, I'm Dolly Parton and I spent all this money on trying to save the world. I bet somebody like dug that up and put out a scoop.
Yeah, I could see that. She's not like that. Dolly's great.
She's amazing. She does the whole thing with like the books for kids.
Yeah, man.
You know?
She's wonderful.
She's wonderful. Really is.
Noel, when this is over, I'm going to take you to Dollywood.
I would love to. In Pigeon Forge, Tennessee.
Just you and me, man. Dollywooding it up.
Can we get cotton candy, Chuck? Can we get cotton candy?
You've had enough.
Okay.
Quit badgering me.
You are a dad.
what else you been up to, Mr. Noel? I mean, there was a presidential election that, I don't know, some people say is still not settled. I think anyone that a reasonable human says it's long settled.
Well, Chuck, the more important election is Bird of the Year 2020 in New Zealand that was definitely attempted to be rigged, but they wouldn't let that fly, pun absolutely intended. Those kindly New Zealanders nipped that right in the bud and figured out that there were 1,500 false votes that were tried to jam through in an email for the Kiwi, which is, you know, admittedly the national bird of New Zealand, but that was not the bird the people chose, my friend. It was this like really obese parrot whose name I've forgotten.
I have a question. What in the fuck are you talking about?
The New Zealand Bird of the Year competition.
I don't know
what
the fuck you're talking about.
I thought I spelled it out pretty
is
well.
Is that a real thing,
then.
Or is this like a 30
Yes, what do you think? You guys made this up. I would never make up a story about birds. You know me. No, it's a competition they have every year that's sponsored by this like wildlife preservation like society thing in New Zealand to let people know about all the fucking weird ass birds that exist in that place. Turns out there's a lot of them, and somebody or a group tried to hack the election by you know whatever forcibly. You know, falsely sending in 1,500 votes for this particular subspecies of Kiwi. And then it was prior to that, actually. Remember kids pick the president? You're too old for that. But Nickelodeon every year does a mock election. Not every year, every election.
Sure.
Does a mock election where kids pick the president.
Oh,
and
that's
they,
cute.
You know, But this year, a bunch of bots tried to rig that election for Donald Trump. And they, again, found that out and made a little caveat when they announced the winner that there were some foul play.
foul play.
Oh, that was for the other story. Okay. That was not, yeah, but that works. No, I don't know, man. I've been just working on a lot of music, hanging out with my kid. We just bought this really cool, weird Japanese drumming rhythm game where you're like a little anthropomorphized drum and you fight each other with rhythm. That's fun. How about you, man? Any good? Are you getting a PS5?
Nah.
Yeah, I'm not an early adopter either. I like to wait till the bugs are all worked out.
I'm good with it, the PS4 for now, because as you know, I don't game a lot. But I did, right, Noel, finally get tired of riding that horse around in Red Dead mm-hmm. Redemption, whatever mm-hmm. it's called, and started Last of Us Part 2.
Mm-hmm.
And I am I'm on like day 5.
Nice.
Of trying to squirrel away as much time as I can without, you know, shirking my duties as husband and father.
Of course.
So I'm sneaking up there and playing when I can. Did you get into that one eventually, or is it still on the shelf?
No, I don't have it. I haven't even bought
it.
I got that Switch, Chuck, and I've just been like in Switchland. I've also been getting all of the Borderlands 3 downloadable content because they're all out now, and I bought the season pass for that early on.
Yeah.
So I've been trying to wrap that up, but I do want to get it. I loved Last of Us. I thought it was a masterpiece of a game. Are you liking this one?
I'm enjoying it.
A little divided.
It's a scary fucking game, dude. I mean, my heart rate, you know how it is when you're mm-hmm. creeping around the dark and those,
oh yeah,
those clickers come at you. It's scary stuff.
Yeah.
And Ruby came up last night when I was playing, and she was being put to bed, and she came up to tell me goodnight, and I paused it, you know, didn't want her to see any of that stuff. Like, she watches some of the Red Dead stuff and kind of laughs at it, but she was like, "What are you playing?" And I was like, "Well, it's a game where it's a girl," and I tried to just dumb it down, and I was like, "It's a girl who lives in a world where there are mostly monsters, and she just has to fight her way out and kill the monsters." And I said, "You can't watch this one because this one is kind of scary, and you'll have bad dreams." She said, "I don't have bad dreams." And I said, "Well, you can't watch this one." And she said, "Well, I like the way it sounds," because she's coming up the stairs and heard this god-awful fight going on, you know.
Oh, my goodness.
Like, the sound design in those games is just terrifying.
Oh, it is good.
And she really wanted to see it, and I was like, nah, just can't. little too much for you.
Not till you're 5, kid. Not till you're 5.
Well, she is 5. Oh. Not till she's 10.
Not till you're 10. Whatever. I thought she was younger than that. My goodness, how the time.
Yeah, like almost 5 and a half, dude. It's crazy. So,
Ian's about to be 12, which is basically a teenager. I mean, she already kind of exists in that world mentally, but she's going to be legitimately 12, preteen technically, but it's happening for me, Chuck. It's happening.
No, she's going to have a little sweetheart in the next few years.
I don't know, man. Like, she is...
I know she's shy about that stuff. But
she's shy about that. I know she will.
She'll
have
crushes
she will.
And stuff.
She definitely will. It's all good. Whatever she wants to do, I'm going to be there. I just don't want her to, like, you know, get her heart broken.
I know. You can't stop that stuff, dude.
It's true, dude.
It's awful. I'm already like dreading that that moment, you know, that heartbreak stuff.
It's rough, man. I mean, I'm a 37-year-old man, and it can still happen to me, dude. That's the risk you run not being hitched up, you know?
Sure. What's going on with you, by the way? I haven't checked in on your love life.
No, my love life. It's not a thing. I'm seeing somebody who I've known for a very long time and who I care about very much. And we've kind of been on and off. We've always been friends, and we're sort of a little more than friends now, but it's not like a thing we're slapping a big old label on. And I frankly kind of like it.
Good.
I think I've been overthinking the whole, cause here's the thing, like my ex is remarried and has a kid. And while that never felt like the life for me, it wasn't like something that I sought out. It was something that I just kind of fell into.
Mm-hmm.
I see it, and I see them, you know, being this happy little family, and I'm like, oh, I want that. But then I realized, like, that's never really been my thing, and I'm part of this family. Like, I'm this extended, weird uncle part of this family.
That's great.
And I love that and feel really lucky that I have that. So it's like, why do I want to, you know, sign up for something that maybe I'm not all in on if I'm already living a really great life and
totally
have a lot of freedom and, you know, it's wonderful.
Yeah, man. And things, you know, things change. You might want that one day. You might not. Mm-hmm. You never know.
But I need to just roll with it and not be like, I need to want this because X, Y, and Z. I should actually just do it because I actually want it.
Follow your heart, Noel.
Thanks, bud.
All right. I want to mention really quickly before we get going with our first category here. Category? What the fuck? What am I talking about even? What's a category?
A category. It's like a genre of thing.
Yeah. Or whatever. Our first little bit. I did want to mention the selfie thread that exists on the Movie Crush page. Who started that? I think it was Kevin Larson. if I'm not mistaken. But and I'm going to check that just to make sure. But it was on the Crushers page. And he posted like, hey, you know, random selfie thread. Just let's see your pretty beautiful faces.
Totally.
Is it Kevin Larson? Yeah, it was Larson. And he started it off. And boy, it got a lot of engagement. And I added one and you added one. And it was just, it was one of the best things I've seen in a long time. And everyone
it
loved
was really nice.
Seeing each other's faces. And everyone is just wonderful in this community. And it was nice to put faces, larger faces, to names, and where it turns out we're all gorgeous and handsome, which is
true.
Fantastic. Who knew?
Some of those faces were just absolutely huge. They were massive faces.
Massive
and I
faces.
Was, yeah, I was,
it was a lot of fun, though. So big thanks to Kevin back. For that.
Oh, it was so cool. Yeah, I was laying on my couch and it just lit me up like a Christmas tree. And then I posted the picture of me basically reacting to how excited I was.
That was a lot of fun. And I posted my kind of funny one of me passed out with a glass of wine in my face.
Yep.
And of course, I would not pass out with a glass of wine. I would drink that wine. Then
that would be
out.
Wasteful.
That's right. Yeah. So, Noel, we're going to get going here with we have a couple of things that we're doing today, a couple of things on the docket. Mm-hmm. And the first one is a thread I started, which is you have $20 million to make your own movie. What is the genre and who are your two lead actors? Assuming that you can kind of get anyone. Like if you want The Rock will do it for that kind of money.
Got it.
Even though you know how I feel about The Rock, wouldn't be a bad choice because if you're making career moves, you know you're going to do boffo box office and get a second movie with The Rock. But hopefully people went with their heart and were not so cynical as to just think about ticket returns. You know what I mean?
Well, this is also, we're living in a post-ticket returns world right now, Chuck. So
yeah, there are no tickets.
This is all, it's all for the art. It's all for the art at this point.
What I'll let you think on yours, unless you know with a bullet what genre and what two actors that you would cast.
I would really love to do something in the realm of like a very high concept sci-fi.
Okay.
Starring Fran Drescher as an android of some sort.
Oh my God! Close the airlock.
perhaps an android.
A nandroid.
Then I'm thinking. I don't know, man. I like that Undertaker from the wrestling. Why did he have an acting career? How come only like The Rock gets to act? What about the Undertaker? He never spoke, but I bet he's got a wonderful speaking voice.
I don't know the Undertaker.
He looks like an Undertaker. He's basically a big, scary guy.
Oh, good Lord.
That's kind of spooky.
Frightening looking.
I know, right? He'd be great for a high concept sci-fi film starring an android. He could be the villain. And then for the lead, I don't know, I like Eugene Levy's son, whose name I'm forgetting now.
Okay. I think it's David, or is David
David
the character?
Levy. Yeah. No, yeah, I think it might be the character, but I love him and his
Daniel.
Eyebrows. Daniel.
Daniel?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I think so. Still plowing through that one, Noel. Season 2. Enjoying the heck out of it. Very fun.
Plow away, my friend. I sometimes like to take a pause from things that I'm really enjoying so that I can like savor it, you know?
Like, no, never mind. I'm not going to go there.
Oh, okay, Chuck. Okay. Well, we'll just have to leave it to the imagination.
Oh, boy. What is wrong with me to have thoughts like that this early? All right. So we're going to start off with, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and cast. I'm going to just go off the dome here. I'm gonna do a $20 million. I'm gonna do a political thriller.
Oh wow!
And it's going to star Amy Adams and Julianne Moore. Yeah, fuck yeah! That's exactly what I'm doing. Intrigue.
In my mind,
intrigue.
I transposed that to Julie Andrews. That would have been cool too for her to political.
Yeah,
no. Amy Adams and Julianne Moore. Are they like teamed up? Are they nemeses? What's going on?
I think we're gonna maybe go nemeses. Maybe who do team up to defeat some evil dickhead?
Got it.
How about that?
Sort of a Trumpian figure, perhaps.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah,
you know, he said the Emmys were rigged too. They're digging up all these tweets from like 2015 and all he's talking. It's the same exact quote, except swap in Emmys and presidential election. It's like, what kind of a person literally can't accept any kind of defeat or any kind of mistake?
He had a lot to say about the New Zealand Bird of the Year competition as well.
I'm sure he did. Did he really? Was he?
No, but
that
I would
not surprise me.
I would love that.
He was like, see, it's happening everywhere.
rampant.
All right, Jen, we're going to start off with top fan, and I don't think we have met Jen yet, but Jen Zucks Horror, Doug Jones for whatever amazing creature there would be, and then Sigourney Weaver or Toni Collette to kick its ass or eaten by it.
Oh, you know, I would love to see Toni Collette in more like high concept horror kind of stuff because she slayed it in Hereditary.
Yeah, she's fantastic. Big time fan of hers. Noel, I'll tell you this off air, but I got like a real movie star guest coming on this show.
Oh, hell yeah.
Someone we're doing a podcast with soon as a network, and Mangesh hooked it up for me.
That's incredible. I don't even think I know about the podcast.
Probably not. I'm going to be on her show too that she's doing.
Holy cow. Is it Hillary Clinton?
It is. She's Hooray! A movie star.
Yeah. That's sort of the same. I have a little secret something coming up on the show too, maybe.
Oh, that's right. You told me yesterday. Yeah. Hopefully this will work out. Noel can do another Noel Takeover edition. Mm-hmm. I'm also trying to get Alec Baldwin because we're porting over his show.
Oh, cool.
Here's the Thing to our network. And I immediately asked. I think the answer was like, well, one of the first things he said on the call was like, don't ask me to do a bunch of podcast guest episodes. He's going to do a few select ones, so I've put my name in the ring to be one of those, so we'll see.
Oh, absolutely. I saw a really good Onion article or something where it was like, Alec Baldwin refuses to leave Saturday Night Live. It's Trump.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I think he's kind of ready to leave that, actually.
Oh, totally.
I know that he has felt obligated to do that for the last bit.
Sure.
And not super enjoying it anymore.
Jim Carrey as Biden didn't go over super well. I just saw some people kind of negging it and saying like it was just sort of, it was fine. But do you really think like, is he going to be the guy? Or like, surely that was just a one-off thing, or is that meant to be a forever thing?
Is he going to do that for 4 years or however long Biden is president?
Can't imagine.
We'll see. All right. We're going to move on to one of our oldest pals and one of our lovely, lovely admins. Vanessa Lopez says, a thriller with McKenna Grace and Caleb McLaughlin, both really talented, promising kid actors who I would like to see more from. All right. Yeah, I like that. I like that direction. Jacob, welcome to the show, Jacob Kokansky. Great name. Since I don't have an original thought right now, I'd remake Passenger 57, but with Jamie Foxx and James McAvoy. All right, sure. Let me see. Our oldest of friends, Stellan Carlson, says sci-fi comedy starring Molly Shannon and John Goodman. Whoa. It's based on a wacky book I wrote called I Rimden Kan Ingen Hurde Dig Fika. In space, no one can hear you, Fika. He said I'd have to change the title. Oh, that's great. Stellan, I kind of want to see this wacky book if you can translate it and send it our way. It's up to you, buddy. But boy, Molly Shannon, John Goodman, sign me up. I always had the biggest crush on her.
Absolutely.
Gorman, our old pal Patrick Gorman, says Marc Maron and Tina Fey in a romantic comedy that takes place somewhere random like Bulgaria. Interesting. What do you think about Marc Maron, the actor?
I like him. Yeah. I liked him in, but he always sort of plays himself, you know, which is fine. I liked him in Joker as briefly as he was in it. And I liked him in his FX
Glow.
Show. Glow is fine. I never really watched Glow, but I saw his FX show where he sort of plays himself.
That was IMC, but sure.
Excuse me.
Got to credit the right network, Noel. They'll come after us.
I knew it had an F in it.
Matt Dent says dark comedy with Dan Aykroyd and Andy Samberg. Okay. He said script is already written. Matt, I'd like to see that script too. Everyone send me your scripts. And I'll never read them. It's very hard to read scripts, Noel. They're long.
Yeah, they are long. But I think there's an interesting, I mean, we talked about this. I think we talked about the Uncut Gems script, the ending sequence anyway. And it was just the most flowery, beautiful language describing that sequence just perfectly to a T.
So great.
And I sometimes wonder when I'm seeing a thing like in a film or whatever, how precise is the stage direction?
Yeah.
And I think sometimes it isn't.
It
and
varies.
Sometimes it is. But when it is like that and it reads like a novel, I just think that's just powerful writing, you know?
Yeah. I mean, sort of the deal is, and I think we might have even talked about this before, it depends on if you are writing to direct it and like you are a director and this is going to be your movie. A lot of times it'll be way more detailed and way more poetic and frankly interesting to read stage direction wise. Or if you're just writing a spec script, you really got to keep it kind of neutral and bare bones. If you go in there with a bunch of flowery shit, the first thing they'll do is just say, all right, well, how are we going to shoot this? It doesn't matter what the writer says.
That's true.
But you never know. It doesn't hurt. Just don't go overboard with it. Chris Fairchild says, Ferris Bueller's Kids Day Off. Matthew Broderick and Mia Sara are grown, have kids, and are now somewhat bored in their work life. This time it's the daughter who is like the dad, skip school, shenanigans ensue. He said, this was taken from a friend of mine. We want it to happen so bad. That would be kind of a fun thing. Don't you think?
I'm a big fan of fun and shenanigans, Chuck. I think you know that about me.
Erica Sims, one of our old friends, says, girl stoner horror comedy. Pineapple Express meets Tucker and Dale versus Evil with Kristen Wiig and A.D. Bryant. Oh, yeah.
That sounds great.
I
want to see that movie.
1,000%. Boy, I'd love to see A.D. Bryant and Kristen Wiig in the same movie. That'd be fantastic.
Have you seen or read or seen the trailer for this new Blumhouse thing? It's called Freaky. It's like a serial killer and his victims switch bodies, and it's got Vince Vaughn in it.
Oh, my God. Who does he switch with?
His victim, or his object of his stalkering.
Yeah, but you know? I mean, what actor? Switch with anyone?
No, it's one particular. I mean, it's the Freaky Friday scenario.
Weird.
But like with a horror, it's like a horror comedy, and it looks like, I don't know how did that get pitched? It probably Freaky Friday, but like as a horror, you know, probably that's probably that. All it took.
Yeah.
Who is it? It was,
put Vince Vaughn in it to ruin it.
Why? What a minute! You don't like Vince Vaughn?
I like Catherine Vince Vaughn in certain. Newton. I like him in certain things, but I think that would not be great. I think he's not so good in other things.
Is he sort of maybe not doing too hot? This seems like a thing. There's nobody else of note in this. It seems like it's, you know, and a lot of these Blumhouse movies, you know, get made for like no money, but I think it might do well. It sort of reminds me of that Happy Death Day, which is another Blumhouse kind of horror comedy, which I quite enjoyed. But has Vince done anything in the last little while?
I think Vince Vaughn.
He was in Curb.
And listen, man, I don't know who listens to the show. I highly doubt that Vince Vaughn does. But I think that Vince Vaughn's star has faded a bit in recent years, looking at the sort of more recent films that he's been in. He was in a movie called Brawl in Cell Block 99. Have you even heard of that?
No.
He's in a movie this year called Arkansas.
Oh, but isn't that's interesting though. That's like, maybe I'm not, I don't know. I haven't seen it, but the guy, you've seen The Office, right?
Sure.
In one of the later seasons of The Office, the guy who he's sort of like, there's two new dudes that work in the office, and one of them is sort of short and chubby. Mm-hmm. The other guy's really good looking, and he ends up dating Kimmy Schmidt.
Okay.
Anyway, the shorter guy, his name's Clyde. Anyway, something like that. He wrote and directed that movie Arkansas himself, and it's like a drug kind of like westerny kind of, you know, gangster movie, and it's supposed to be really cool.
Yeah, I'm looking. Noel Vince Vaughn, he was in the True Detective season, but
well, that was the season that wasn't particularly good, and he was sort of the weakest part of that. And I like Vince Vaughn. I like I think he's great in Curb. He plays a bit character in the new season of Curb, newer season of Curb that I quite enjoy.
Never
saw
that
really
latest
good comedic
season.
Timing.
He what?
I think he has good comedic
sure.
timing.
No, like, I think there's something, great yeah. in those movies. But now that I'm looking at his recent filmography, Noel, I'm going to have to go back to like 2008 or 9 for the last kind of good movie, in my opinion, that he's been in. So. That's what's
maybe
happening.
He'll have a John Travolta kind of moment with Freaky.
Oh, God. Allison Cameron says sci-fi deep space mission with Tom Hanks and Tessa Thompson. All right. That'd be a cool pairing.
Who's Tessa Thompson?
She is. She played Valkyrie, I think.
Yep.
Right? Isn't that her?
In the Thor movies, right?
Yeah.
She's great. I knew that the moment I asked the question. She is really great.
And she's about as hot as it comes right now. She's all over the place. And also hot, you know, in the other way.
To trot?
Hot to trot. Yeah. Very pretty lady. And good actor. Dave Lindquist says, buddy cop movie, except the cops are trying to solve a mystery at their retirement home. Nicholson and Hackman. Oh, boy, I'd love to see Gene Hackman come out of retirement. It's not going to happen, Mr. Lindquist, unfortunately. But, yeah, I get it. That could be cool. Sarah Nagy, one of our old friends, says a Muppet version of Les Mis.
Oh, God.
But keep Hugh Jackman. Every other character is a Muppet.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty funny.
The guy's got some pipes, man. I'm always blown away by Hugh Jackman's like versatility. Because I know he has a background in the Broadway stuff, and he never really thought of him that way, because he was always this like leading man, action hero guy, and then you realize the dude can belt out some musical theater.
He can do it all. Song and dance, man. Mm-hmm. He's got pipes and guns.
Yep, pipes and guns and gams.
Joshua Fish says, Murder Mystery with Taika Waititi and Chris Hemsworth. Great. Would love to see that.
Yeah.
Our oldest of friends, The Danger Oven, Gail Kuntz, says horror. It would basically be Love Actually, but as a horror film, which it should be anyway, because that movie has a total creep vibe, starring James McAvoy and Rachel McAdams. Sure.
I like McAvoy.
Melanie Dickey Wright says a buddy comedy with David Tennant and John Hamm. Who's David Tennant, Noel? Will you look that up?
He's a Doctor Who.
Oh, okay.
Guy. Yeah.
Well, that means I definitely don't know him. Rob Esposito says horror comedy with Aubrey Plaza and Jack Black. Sounds like a lot of fun.
Didn't you watch Jessica Jones, Chuck?
No.
You didn't watch Jessica Jones? Okay. He's the villain. David Tennant is the villain. He's also like, he's got a serial killer movie coming out where he plays like this notorious British serial killer. He's definitely bigger in the UK than he is over here, but he's great.
I just looked him up. I kind of recognize him. He looks a bit like Griffin Dunn.
A little bit.
Mm-hmm. Mike Sams, one of our old friends, says, Stuff You Should Know, the movie, a mockumentary starring Ian Lyons as Josh and Chris Evans as Chuck. Annie Reese will have a cameo as Jerry. Oh, that'd
Love
be
it.
Fun.
That would be good.
No one's ever going to make a movie about us, Noel.
I don't know, man. Only time will tell. They made a TV show about you. Why not a movie?
Because of the TV show.
Oh, fair enough.
Did you see it? Have you ever seen the TV show at all?
I've seen clips. I've seen some clips.
You should watch an episode at some point.
Okay.
I would recommend the Hodgman episode just for funsies, which is was supposed to be the season finale.
Yeah.
And which I wrote. Yeah.
You should watch swimming. Watch There's that swimming one involved. Isn't there swimming? Isn't there swimming?
Yes. Hodgman and I had a competition to become astronauts on SpaceX. I think that was the deal.
Oh, cool.
It's been a minute.
That makes sense. Like I mean, basically, swimming is just like one step removed from astronauting.
Well, there were a series of little competitions to see who would win. Are you drinking wine? No, it looks like red wine.
No, it's iced coffee. Wouldn't that be fun if I was drinking red wine at 10:30 a.m.?
You know, there's a lot of things you can drink in the morning, alcoholic-wise. I've never been super into it. The occasional Bloody Mary if it's, you know, vacation or something. But
yeah,
red wine is not one of them.
No. That's an evening drink.
There's a very quick story here about that. There was, we had a, usually every 2 years we have a big adults only Christmas party. We haven't had one in a few years though, because of the timing of the house renovation and now the pandemic, but we generally do that. And it is we tell everyone like schedule your Lyft and your Uber, leave the kids at home, and we're all going to have the big adult Christmas party, and we're all going to get super drunk. And
is that
have
like a key
a lot
party?
Not a key that? Party. Okay. But this nameless sort of friends that aren't really that close to us, just people we sort of knew that were at the party, they spent the night on the couch, passed out sort of, woke up the next morning, and they opened a bottle of red wine at like, after being up till like 3 at like 9 a.m. in our living room and started drinking it. And
wow,
I have never been more disgusted and frightened in my life.
Yeah, that's sort of like a,
it's not
hey,
good.
That's sort of like, I mean, I don't, the not the zero misogyny here, but sort of like when you have a one night stand and you wake up and, you know, the girl's still over and it's sort of like, ooh, yeah, I think you got to go.
I do not know that feeling, Noel. I think I had one one-night stand in my life.
I've only had two ever.
It was never my thing.
It's not my style,
no.
But I'm just saying. That's how it is in the movies,
sure.
You know? It's a scenario we're all familiar with in the movies.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, the sad ending to that story is that couple is now divorced. It was a pretty... pretty sad thing, actually, that they got up and were drinking red wine.
No, that's... I can't day drink pretty much at all unless I just keep it rolling. And I start and then I don't stop. Otherwise, I'm like passed out by...
No, you can't do that. You can't day drink for a little while, then pause at 3 in the afternoon.
Nope.
I'm not much of a day drinker either, Noel. It's in the old days, sure. But, you know, I'm old now. Got to take care of myself a little better.
You know, I think of you as a youth, Chuck.
A youth?
You know, you're a youth. Yeah.
Thanks, Noel. Eric Grabe says, romantic comedy with Rashida Jones and John Krasinski just to watch fans of The Office lose their minds. Yeah, that'd be fun to see them together in a movie.
I've been rewatching the Chappelle Show because it's on Netflix now. Yeah. And I realized I'd never seen it like without all the swears bleeps. But Rashida Jones is in one little sketch
where it's like
rapper commercials, like rappers doing commercials for ridiculous products, and one of them is for like tampons, uh-huh. and it's her and her like super white friend, and like they're in this white room and they're wearing all white and it's a tampon commercial from I don't remember the name of the rapper, but yeah, she's in it and she's very young and she definitely was just doing it like as like a
right.
solid like little acting gig, you know, for that one thing.
So Emily and I watched the Saturday Night Live with Dave Chappelle on the week of the election. I don't know if you saw that one, but it was great. And he was awesome, I think. And she was like, who is Dave Chappelle? I know the name, but she, you know, just didn't know much about him. And I said, well, you never saw a Chappelle Show. And she said, no. So, well, that's where he really made his name. So we put on, and I wasn't sure if she would like it because you never can tell with Emily what kind of comedy she'll be into. And I made her watch I invited her to watch with me if you're going to pick out two sketches from Chappelle, you're going to pick out Rick James and Prince.
Oh, God. Yes.
Playing basketball. Or she saw both of those, the True Hollywood Stories, and she fucking died, dude. Like, just like I did years and years ago when I first saw it. And, you know, it was just the best. And seeing it again was a lot of fun for me. So I've been watching that a little bit late night and a little bit of the Steve Brule Show late night by myself and just having a lot of fun from like 11 to 12:30 in the morning.
Yeah, so good. And I've got another rec for you for later. But I rewatched the same sketch or like the Prince one. And there's a part where it's like Charlie Murphy's like, he had this cat, Mickey Free, with him, who was the new cat in Shalimar.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, and you know, he's talking about how he looked like a chick or whatever. And I'd never heard of him before. And I looked him up and there's an interview he does where he talks about that story. And he says it's all 100% true, every single detail,
yeah,
down to the pancakes. Is 100%
I mean those
true.
Stories are true. That's the best thing about them. And Charlie Murphy, I think, is a big reason those are so funny. Like Chappelle is great, and the reenactments are great, but Charlie Murphy's storytelling is so great. And now, just I crack Emily up like every 2 days. I'll just walk up behind her and go, Charlie Murphy, Charlie Murphy, and she'll crack up. All right, let's wind this down. David Barlow says horror with Toni Collette and Willem Dafoe. And then let's do one more. Dana Barrent says, we can get anyone, I guess dead or alive. It would be a music mockumentary starring Prince and Heath Ledger as his manager. Wow. Very interesting. All right. Well, that's good stuff, Noel. And now we are going to move on. Noel, you're getting your shot, finally, for Pop Quiz Hot Shot.
Oh, my God. Is there a sound cue here when you say those words? I haven't
there
been
is.
Listening
you,
back.
Seth is killing it with that stuff.
Seth, by the way, unsung new movie crush hero, Seth. Is really doing a fantastic job.
Well, by the time this comes out, it will have aired because it's going to come out on Friday. But mm-hmm. Seth is going to be my guest on Friday, Noel.
He's a lovely guy. He's got his own show coming out pretty soon.
Oh, well, I'll talk to him about that. But I don't even know Seth that well. That is the funny mm-hmm. thing is we've emailed and stuff. Don't know what he looks like. Don't know anything about the guy. So this will be a chance for the movie crushers and myself to get to know Seth a little bit.
He has a very, very varied and interesting career path. I will not spoil it for anybody, but really kind of a Renaissance man. He'll tell you all about it, but really cool guy.
Well, again, Noel, it will already be out, so you're not spoiling anything.
Oh, yeah, he has
but
this like record label.
Don't spoil it for me.
Okay, fine. Well, just one little, I'm only going to tell you this because I've been making a lot of music lately.
All right,
and
tell me
one thing. He's just the sweetest guy because he has this like very small record label. He bought like, uh, he used some money, some savings that he had, and he bought like a record lathe, like a small format record lathe, which is still like a big piece of machinery that he has in his house. And he hand cuts these, like, you know, 45s. He does these very bespoke kind of 45 singles for artists that he likes. And he's got a label called Haunted Birthday Records. And he
is making, literally making records,
making vinyl records. And he's also like a designer, and he does all the art. And sometimes there's hand etched like things on the actual records. And he's going to put out a 7-inch for me whenever I get my project to a place where I'm like, I want to put out these songs, maybe do a split with a friend of mine who does similar stuff. But, just, he says like, oh yeah, well, I don't charge you anything. I just, you know, cover the cost of production. And then we split the proceeds 50-50 after production's paid for.
Amazing.
Yeah, well, I'm so pumped.
We'll throw it out to the crushers, too. Maybe you'll tell a few.
1,000,000%.
All right, Noel. So pop quiz hotshot. We're going to invite in a little special guest just to scorekeep and really just to have fun.
Yay.
And so I am welcoming this person into the room right now.
Hi.
Hey, it's Annie Reese.
I got it. I was just text. Annie Reese sent me a text at like 1 a.m. last night because I did this, like, I do little musical cues for her D&D game sometimes, and I kept putting this one off. She wanted me to do a parody of the Slipknot song that she had rewritten the lyrics to. You guys might be familiar with Slipknot, the sort of gimmicky, mask-wearing
horror
metal band. Exactly. Yeah, horrorcore, sure. And I kept putting it off, and then the game kept getting put off, and it kind of just worked out. I didn't actually make the music. I just found like a version of it with no vocals. But then I think I did a pretty good impression of that guy.
Oh, spectacular. Thank you.
You're so welcome. I was actually really happy with it because it was like, I don't really mess around in that genre very often. So I got a chance to kind of mix the vocals and try to match the quality. And I kept A-B-ing it with like the original song. And I think I did an okay job.
It was perfect.
Kim,
so
Annie,
good.
Do you mind if people hear this? Can we drop that in right now?
Yes, if Noel's cool with it, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So we'll have Seth drop it in, send it to him, Noel. So here we go with Noel's D&D Slipknot parody.
I felt desire burn up in me, wound up and now I'm so hungry. I wonder where I can go eat, all I need is to make and feed.
I felt desire burn up in me, wound up and now I'm so hungry. The shade is darker this time. Everything recycled, blasphemy. Miles I didn't involve, the things that's sweeping straight down. This is not the way I picture me. I can't control my shakes. Where the hell is the food? Something about this is so hungry. I have to scream out loud. I wish I didn't eat this. Is it a dream or a memory? I felt desire burn up in me. Wound up and now I'm so hungry.
All right. Well, there it is. I'm going to hear it later.
Excellent.
So. Annie wrote the lyrics, though. The song is called Wait and Bleed, but Annie's version is called Mate and Feed.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I don't know how this fits into the mythos of your D&D world, but I love just how bizarre it is.
It was at the Dread Wedding, which was the wedding between E-Cubes, who was the lead singer of this band, and famous fanfiction writer August Wind, which was my fanfiction name when I wrote fanfiction.
Annie, there are nerd heads exploding all over the country right now. All over the world, dare I say.
Perfect.
All right, so we all know how the game is played. And truthfully, Annie, I could have kept score by myself, but it's just fun to have you in here. And I need some backup to help make fun of Noel. You got your little, what do you got there?
I'm ready.
Okay.
I've got a book to keep score.
Wonderful.
I am here for it. Noel, I'm on your side. I'm rooting for you.
I appreciate
it.
Yes,
we all are.
Yes.
Everyone but me.
Whatever, Chuck.
I believe in you.
All right. If you are new to the show, here's what happens. I ask 10 questions. There are 3 answers apiece for 1 point apiece, Annie, for a total of 30 points. I know I don't have to over-explain to you like I do Noel.
Right, Noel? I appreciate the explanation nonetheless.
Hard head shake. Hard.
Yeah. Noel is just shaking his head, everyone. He's so mad already. Mm-hmm. So do you need to prepare, Noel? Is there anything you need to do?
No, I'm good. I already cracked my neck with that head shake, so I'm good.
I tried to be fair here. It's all over the map. There's no genre. There's no theme. Just generalized movie questions.
Oh, I'm ready for it.
I got to get my timer going. I knew I had to do something. Maybe I should call a third person in to work the timer. Yes.
You really need a crew for this.
All right. So here we go. Noel, I'm going to do a countdown timer. You'd think I had this worked out by now.
Jeez, Chuck, get it together.
Oh, yeah. Payback is hell, right?
Yeah, it's brutal. Brutal.
All right, Noel Brown.
Okay.
Pop quiz hotshot in 10 seconds. Name three movies that had only one sequel. Go.
Oh, my gosh. This is a really hard one. Oh, my God. Ah, hold on. I gotta at least get. No, I got none. I got zero. That is a hard one, Chuck. Let us discuss.
Well, we'll let Annie see if she can name any. No pressure.
House to the second story.
There's movies. A house 3. There's a house 3.
Damn.
All right, Noel. Movies with only one sequel. You could have said Kill Bill.
No. Oh.
You could have said Bruce Almighty. You could have said Gremlins, Hellboy, National Treasure.
You're right, Grandma. I just watched Gremlins too.
Sin City, Grease, Saturday Night Fever.
Well, clearly you have a list in front of you, Chuck. This
well,
is not.
Of course,
you
know. I just looked it up. I'm the game master.
Oh, my gosh.
All right. Great start.
Yeah. Thanks, bud.
Yeah, Annie doesn't. You didn't have to write anything down there, did you? She's writing zero.
I want to be professional about this.
All right, Noel. Number 2. In 10 seconds, name three non-Star Wars, non-Raiders of the Lost Ark movies that star Harrison Ford.
The Conversation, and Witness, and,
All right.
Jesus, okay.
We'll accept Witness. I don't think we'll accept The Conversation. Are you talking about the Gene Hackman film?
Yeah.
Was Harrison Ford in that?
He absolutely was.
Do we need to check this stuff?
I mean, I'll check it now.
Conversation cast.
You think Noel would lie?
Okay, Harrison Ford. There. All right, Noel. I stand corrected.
It was
corrected.
One of his first roles. It was a very small part.
Very good.
And then I would have also said Air Force One, but that was the one that was on the tip of my brain. But the clock is a cruel mistress.
It's true. It's true.
All right, 2 out of 3, Noel. That's a good, nice little comeback. You're on the right track.
Yeah, Meatloaf would say it ain't bad.
This one will be much easier for you. In 10 seconds, Noel. Name three movies starring or even featuring actor John C. Reilly.
Boogie Nights, Step Brothers, Sherlock Holmes and Watson.
We'll accept that, Noel. As long as Annie agrees.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know he was in that, but yeah.
It was a really bad, it was him and Will Ferrell. It was a poorly reviewed kind of historical comedy.
Yeah, we're going to bend a little bit. It was just in Under the Wire, and we'll bend on the title.
What was it called? Watson and
I
Holmes?
I think Holmes and Watson, maybe? I don't know.
Well, the Sherlock was just me digging for it, and then I said Holmes and Watson.
So. Okay, that's good. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. Appreciate the
Sherlock colon Holmes and Watson. All right. You got it so far, Annie? You good?
Oh, yeah.
All right. All right, Noel. In 10 seconds, name three movies starring or featuring actor Kate Winslet.
Heavenly Creatures, Titanic, and Little Children. Do I have to wait for the clock?
I just wanted to pause to make sure that you didn't want to change any answers. Is Little Children a movie?
Yeah.
What movie is that, Noel? Oh, okay. Yep. Sorry. I even saw that. Good movie.
Mm-hmm. It's based on a book. Apparently has some very intense themes.
Yeah, Todd Field movie. That was really good. Yeah, mm-hmm. Pretty sexy movie. Mm-hmm. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, well, it also has some,
sex?
Some child abuse happening in that movie, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm trying to remember. It's been a while. I don't remember that part. I think I'm just concentrating on the sex scenes.
Mm-hmm. That was a good one on a washing machine, if I'm not mistaken.
There was indeed, Noel.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Annie's eyes just bugged out of her head. Boing, boing, boing.
I have no idea what this movie
is. Annie just is a cartoon person all of a sudden. All right, you're doing much better, Noel. Nice, great. Nice comeback.
Yeah.
Great.
Slow start. And, you know, that first one was pretty tough.
I do want to say this is harder than you think. Like, I was really struggling with Harrison Ford, and that shouldn't have been hard.
I know.
But he even threw me with the Raiders and the Star Wars, yeah. And then my mind was just all a tizzy, Chuck.
All a tizzy.
Yeah.
Okie dokie. Number five, Noel, in 10 seconds. Mm-hmm. Name three movies that are over 3 hours long.
Barry Lyndon, Titanic, maybe? Shit.
All right,
Lord of the Rings.
What were you saying,
Amy? 1, 2, 3, Lord of the Rings.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
Are they all over 3 hours long? Oh, good Lord. Good job,
really?
Two out of three, though.
Titanic is over 3 hours long, because I remember it was two VHS tapes, so it had to have been.
Yeah, two out of three. That's good. Nice work.
Yeah.
Annie was if you could have seen her face, everyone, she was just shaking her head and clearly screaming, Lord of the Rings. Are you pointing to Lord of the Rings in your closet?
There's some Lord of the Rings stuff back there. Yeah.
Okay. she's referencing things you can't quite even see, Noel. So don't pay attention to Annie.
Okay. Oh, come on now.
She'll only confuse you. Noel's like,
I don't mean to.
Sweatshirt. yes. Books.
Backpack.
Okay, Noel. Two out of three is that's a solid, solid per question score.
These are tough, Chuck. These are tough. You're trying to stick it to me, aren't you?
I'm not trying to stick it to you. What do you want, 100%?
No, I just, you know. Okay. All right. Fair enough.
All right, Noel. Stop complaining.
Never.
Question six. In 10 seconds, Noel. Name three movies that are traditional two-cell 2D animated films.
Oh, I mean, Snow White, Sleeping Beauty, and Cinderella.
Great, look at you, the three ladies.
Look at that.
And you're wearing a Beavis and Butthead shirt, which is the funny part.
It's true.
I was waiting for you to blank, and I was going to go, look down.
I know, I leaned back and looked into the Zoom.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Mm-hmm. All right, Noel, 3 for 3.
That was my first threefer. No, that's not true. I think I got one other where I got all three.
Yeah. We gave you John C. Reilly.
Great.
Not we gave you. You earned it.
Yes.
Thanks, guy.
All right. Noel, in 10 seconds, name three movies that prominently feature any kind of dance routine.
Dancer in the Dark, Chicago, and The Big Lebowski.
All right. Big Lebowski. That old dance favorite.
No, there's that dream sequence where they're in the bowling alley.
It prominently features a dance.
Classical.
Yeah. That's why sequence. He said that instead of like dance movies, because you could have said Pulp Fiction. Annie, you got one? What dance?
You could have also been a real jerk and excluded any adaptation of Broadway, which would have, you know, rendered Chicago null and void. So thank you for not doing that. What do you got, Annie?
Footloose?
Sure.
Yeah. Footloose is good. I've never seen Footloose. Should I see it? Is it good?
Yes, Noel.
Okay.
Annie shrugged. Have you seen it, Annie, the first one?
I saw it a long time ago. Okay. Maybe I wasn't ready for it.
Why is dancing outlawed? Are they like Mormons or something? Or
not Mormon, but just sort of strict Christian fundamentalists.
Oh, I see.
And it's, you know, I mean, it's a movie of its time and it's a movie of my generation. So, of course, there's a warm spot in my heart. You might see it and be like, oh, God, it's terrible.
I mean, I feel like the dance scene with Kevin Bacon, the big one where he's alone and kind of doing gymnast moves.
Amazing.
You should check that out.
I mean, there just happens to be a high bar in this barn.
Exactly.
For some little Gymkhana stuff.
Yep.
All right, Noel. You're doing well.
Yes.
Okay.
Name in 10 seconds three non-comedies that star traditionally comedic actors.
Okay. Uncut Gems, Punch Drunk Love, and The Truman Show.
We'll accept that.
Yeah.
Nice work.
Truman Show wasn't a comedy. I mean, that was sort of like, no, that was a, you know, a satire, but not a comedy, I would say.
No.
Yeah, I agree.
I agree. The panel agrees.
The panel concurs.
I thought I was worried for a minute, Noel, that you got locked in on Sandler so hard you couldn't break out of that Sandler shell. Because yeah. That can happen, you know.
Oh, I know.
But that was good right off the bat. Two Sandler movies.
Mm-hmm.
His well, no, he's done some other non-comedies.
That oh, those were two stories. Sandler movies. You're right. Yeah. I didn't even think about that. He didn't know. I'll tell you why. Because he just disappears into Uncut Gems so much that I don't really even associate that with him as much as I do just a great performance in a great film.
Yeah.
I loved that movie so much.
Did you see that one, Annie?
No, I didn't.
You still haven't seen Uncut Gems?
Highly recommend.
No. It's one of those movies where I'm like, I don't know if you two do this, but some movies I feel like this is going to be an undertaking. And I know it's worth it, mm-hmm. but it's like a thing that I have
totally.
Prepare
it's,
myself.
It's somewhat unpleasant at times, but not so much as what you'd think. I actually would argue that it's got a lot of humor in it, and it's got a lot of, like, it's not like people are getting just, like, tortured or brutalized. It's just kind of like a person that can't do themselves any favors. That's just, like, their own worst enemy, just continuously making bad decision upon bad decision.
Yeah. I think we all do that. I've been putting off 12 Years a Slave for 7 years.
Oh, I thought you were saying we all put off bad decisions continuously. And I was like,
no, put off movies that, you know, is like supposed to be great, should watch it, but tough.
Yes.
You got to be in the right mood. You got to be up for it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right, Noel, two more here.
Okay.
You're doing fine.
Okay, great.
I think you're doing great.
Thanks, Annie. Screw you, Chuck.
No, I think you're doing Thanks. Great. Annie Thanks. Said great. I said fine. Annie mm-hmm. just gaslighted me.
Fine is a four-letter word, my friend.
It is. All right, Noel. Name three in 10 seconds. Very simple. Name three sports movies.
Any Given Sunday, Rudy, and White Men Can't Jump.
All right. Nice work.
Yeah.
I'm going to let the timer go off. Just so everyone hears it, still legal and professional.
You threw me some softballs here at the end. I appreciate that to make up for the brutal first handful.
Mm.
Has there been a softball movie?
That would be cool. I don't know. Are there professional softball players? Are there any celebrity softball players? I feel like that's just the game you play like before you play actual baseball, but
whoa,
don't stumble into that, Noel.
Annie has something to say.
People will write to you if you do that.
My bad.
It's a different thing. It's a different game than baseball, and it's difficult in its own way. And I will tell you, people have strong opinions about this.
Okay, never mind. I take all that back. I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm not a sports person. I have no idea anything about baseball or softball or
you
t-ball.
Never played either of those? Any
I
of played,
I was outfield in baseball like as a child because I was, you know, not good at sports. But
you're the guy out there just picking your nose, right?
Yeah. Yeah. What is it? Like in Arrested Development where he's talking about he's a turd. He's a turd out there. Just look at him. He's just a turd. That was me.
I actually played softball because I think I mentioned on Stuff You Should Know before, my parents did not let me play traditional Little League sports. Because this was during like the 70s and the Bad News Bears era where coaches were cussing out kids and yanking them by the arm and shit like that. And so they were not into that. So I played church sports and I played church softball and then intramural softball and then bar league softball here in Atlanta. And I've always played softball. I love it. Big fan.
It's fun.
Did you play?
It hurts. yeah, I did. I played a lot of sports when I was young. But I did play softball and baseball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Emily played softball as well. She was a good softball player. And Emily played volleyball.
Oh, yes, I love volleyball.
Good athlete. All right, Noel, final one.
This a lot of controversy behind softball, by the way. I'm looking at this up now.
No, that's what I'm telling you.
Sorry. No, apparently, I mean, they're grossly underpaid. Like, yep. There is like a pro softball league, and apparently, there's a salary cap for the whole year of $175,000 or something like that, and like players make an average between $5,000 or $6,000 a game, which is apparently less than a Yankee bat boy makes. So
wait, a game? No, a season.
A season?
Dude, if they're making $5,000 a game, that's pretty damn good.
Okay, sorry. A season, though? That's insane. That's not a actual appropriate salary for a human being to be able to live on. $5,000 a season?
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's humiliating.
Well, if you think about it, like baseball and softball, it was one of the things where they were trying to do sports like equal for women and men. But it's the only sport, if you think about it, where it's like, why can't there just be women playing baseball and men playing softball? Like, it's because women play soccer and men play soccer. Like, there's not a sport that's sort of different, but almost not.
Right.
It's weird.
Yeah.
It's very strange.
Totally. All right, Noel, last one. Here we go. Then we'll get a total from Miss Annie.
Yes.
Name. Get my timer. I'm not very good at this. By the way, you guys want to hear something funny?
Yes.
That'll never happen. My Josh and mine's booking agent for Stuff You Should Know live shows, who's a very good friend of mine, and he works at CAA. He is putting my name in the hat as the new Jeopardy host.
Nice.
He texted me. He's like, hey, I know you said you never want to be on TV again, but they're asking for a big master list of people. And he's like, you'll never get it, but do you want me to at least submit you? And I went, sure.
What
America's
you guys
not think? Ready for that. But yeah.
Do you think Ken Jennings is at the top of that list? I don't
know. There's been a lot of speculation about Ken. I was texting with him the other day about that, and he's pretty tight-lipped. I'm not so sure he's into it. Maybe he will be, though.
What if you look back, Chuck, like a year from now, and you're the host of Jeopardy, and you think on this very moment that you had no idea what was coming?
Your life is about to change.
And I was about to say the three of us could laugh about it, but you guys are way in my rearview mirror.
We're jettisoned out.
It's like delete from phone, no contact.
Yeah.
That's hurtful.
I'd understand. I wouldn't be happy, but I'd understand.
I love my job. I don't want any other job.
No.
I imagine it's a lot more work to be the host of Jeopardy, and I'm not into that. All right, Noel, last one.
Okay.
Name three movies featuring, in 10 seconds, an animal as a lead character.
Homeward Bound. You didn't say it had to be live action. Ratatouille. And flipping the boom shit. Why did Flipper. I could not just name any other
we
animal
will not
Disney
accept
movie.
Flipping boom shit. not bad. All right, Annie, do you have a total?
I do, and
how
it
many?
Is 24.
Drum roll.
24
out of 30.
Yep.
Hey, Noel, that's very acceptable.
I would say that's respectable, even. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I not that I didn't think this was going to be the case. It is really difficult to do this. It's the 10-second clock. It's just taunting you.
Yeah.
10 seconds is a lot shorter amount of time than you would think.
It is.
I mean, really.
That's 80%, Noel. That's very good. That's a low B if we were in school.
I'll take it.
Annie, you want to stick around for stream this? Annie, you still there?
That's a hard no.
It okay. froze.
Do you want to stick around for stream this?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll go ahead and start it off and give you folks a chance to think. Emily and I just wrapped up The Queen's Gambit.
Same.
Highly, highly recommend. Great show. Amazing performances. Some of the best set decoration and art direction and costuming that I've seen ever. Like, I just wanted to live in that world. And it was really, really great. Have you guys seen that?
I'm not finished with it yet, but I'm four episodes deep, I think. And
okay.
I just love it. I wouldn't have even thought that I would, but I obviously love that actor.
Mm-hmm. She's great.
From The Witch and Split and all that other stuff. And I just think it's fantastic. Yeah. And I assumed because it was about sort of like a nerdy subject like this, that it was based on a true story.
I did too.
like Searching for Bobby Fischer or whatever.
Yeah, I think it's just
it's not. Right? It's based on a book that's like a kind of historical fiction because there are some real characters, I think, that come through, but most of them aren't even. Like even the chess masters she plays against are all made up. I love it.
Very good show. You should check it out, Annie. I think you'd probably like it.
Okay.
So I've been watching that. We just started the new season of The Crown last night. Only got one episode in, but very excited about that. Thatcher and Diana, and it's really getting into some of the years that I actually remember as a kid. And then, again, still barreling through Schitt's Creek. So we'll watch like an episode or two of one of these dramas, and then we'll wind out the night with a Schitt's Creek. It's been our routine lately. Who's next?
Annie, why don't you go?
Okay, well... I'll continue my nerdery. Last night, I watched the new holiday special from Star Wars because it was Life Day yesterday. Happy Life Day, everybody. Mm-hmm. And that was really fun. I mean, it's meant for kids, but it was really cute.
What's the deal with that? Is it like the first one but animated, or is it a completely different thing?
It's It's pretty much a completely different thing. It's more of an homage to, because there's a time travel element. It goes back to like favorite moments of the series, and it's like Lego animated story. So it's more of a just dorky fan thing. Yeah, nice. It's not like the original,
right?
But it does mention it.
Oh, it does
certainly. Yeah, and Chewbacca's family does show up.
Itchy, isn't there Itchy?
Itchy, Mala, and Lumpy. Yeah, oh yeah, nice. They're all there.
What else?
Well, and because of The Mandalorian, I've been doing the Clone Wars, the show, and Rebels, the show. So
did
a lot
you
of
watch
Star
The Mandalorian,
Wars.
The new season?
Uh-huh.
So you're done with
every
it?
Every Friday, yep.
Oh, it's ongoing, okay. Oh, it drops, like, yeah. Like, yeah. It's a Friday continuous drop until the season's over, which I like. I like having to
wait. I actually
wait.
Do, too, yeah.
Yeah, it's like the old days. I have not started The Mandalorian 2 yet, but I'm looking forward to it, obviously.
The best Star Wars thing I've ever seen personally. I'm not a big Star Wars guy, as I think I've said before.
Yeah.
I don't dislike it, but it's just not my, you know, my fandom. But I just love it. I love that it's self-contained. I love that it's a monster of the week situation that also has kind of like a slightly larger story that they don't have to, like, you know, lean on too hard. And I like that it's a single character perspective, because some of those new Star Wars movies, they just bounce all over time and space, and it just kind of gets a little hard to follow sometimes. And this one is just really clean, and I love it.
What were those other two things, Annie?
So Clone Wars and right. Rebels are the animated ones, okay. And they're like mentioned it in The Mandalorian, and so I'm like, I guess I should probably watch that.
Those are supposed to be pretty good, huh?
Yeah, they're pretty good. They're kind of a bummer, because like Clone Wars, nobody really liked, well, I don't want to say that. I didn't like Anakin in the prequels because I thought he was just like annoying and not a character you could get behind.
You could
but
say
in,
that.
In the animated one, it just hangs over it that, oh, I actually like this guy and he's going to kill all of you.
Oh.
All of his friends.
The younglings. The younglings. He slaughters them.
I know. And then like you see the Star Destroyers and the clones and they're all good because they get kind of flipped, and it's kind of a bummer. But I like it.
All right.
Yeah.
Noel, what about you besides Queen's Gambit? Got anything else?
Yeah, I got a couple things. A really, really hilarious, if you're into like absurdist comedy like Tim and Eric or Mr. Show or something in between those things, there's a Australian comedy troupe called Auntie Donna. And they just came out with a Netflix series like literally on November 11th called Auntie Donna's Big Old House of Fun. And it is, I just laughed by myself in my house, like with it just out loud constantly. I think I've said this before. Like, I think it's a great sign where, like, if you're watching something by yourself, because laughing can be a little performative at times, or infectious. But this is just me alone laughing my ass off, and it's just delightful. It gets really weird, but then I don't know how to describe it other than just check it out if you're into those genres that I mentioned.
I love it, man. I'm gonna watch some of this today.
Yeah. It's very good. Also, David Cronenberg's son, Brandon, has a feature. It's his second feature, and it's called Possessor. And it's like $5. It's, you know, it should have been a big release. You know, it got picked up by Neon, that indie film distributor. And it was at the drive-in here in Atlanta for a little bit. And I think it did some theater run elsewhere. But obviously, I don't think people are comfortable going back to the movies quite yet. So it was on demand pretty quickly.
Jesus, it looks terrifying.
It is terrifying. He basically out Cronenberg's Cronenberg. Like, it's weird because, like, you're like, oh, of course, like, he's ripping off his father. But I mean, if you were hanging out with David Cronenberg your whole life, wouldn't that rub off on you a little bit? So yeah, it is all practical effects and all in-camera effects and lighting effects. And it's cool to know that, but going in, you would not think that. It doesn't like slap you in the face with it, because it's just really, I'm going to say it, psychedelic in its imagery. And also, like, it's got Andrea Riseborough, who played Mandy, which was another one of my favorite psychedelic horror sci-fi, you know, movies of the last. Yeah, I said that already. said that. But I highly recommend it. It's very intensely violent, and it is not what I would call pleasant, but it's worth it. Like, I literally watched it with two of my best friends, and one of them at the end of it just said, well, that was a wholly unpleasant experience. but we all loved it, and it's very mean-spirited, but beautifully shot, really creative story. It's about, like, as an assassin who occupies the body of like a patsy who has access to the target, and basically she's able to go like implant herself through this weird future tech. This is not spoiler. This is like literally on the back cover. And then uses that person's access, but in before doing that has to study them so that she no one will be tipped off that something's wrong. So has to study their, you know, speech patterns and the way they, you know all the names and information about everyone they that in their lives.
Wow.
And things happen. Highly recommend Possessor.
I see Cronenberg's senior favorite, Jennifer Jason Leigh, is in it, which
very
is
much
great.
So. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Love JJL. Boy, okay, that looks absolutely frightening, and I'm definitely going to watch it.
It's good. I'd love to hear what you think, Chuck.
Great Rex, everyone. And Annie, thanks for jumping in here at the last minute. I know you're always so game. I get in touch with you like an hour or so before we're supposed to do this. I'm like, hey, can you come in and keep score?
Well, it was my honor and a pleasure. And congratulations, Noel.
Yeah, way to go, Noel. Success. Solid B score. That's really good. And I don't look forward to you because you're just going to screw me over like you did with Chuck's Holes or whatever that was.
Oh,
with that
anime. You're never going to let me do that one again. I ran that list by a few people and I was like, is this too brutal? And they're like, nah, man, I definitely don't know some of those, but there's some of them that I know. But yeah, I felt that was a poor choice on my part. I just had a period where I was mega into all this weird Japanese stuff, so I take for granted that maybe everyone did not have that same period. Yes. You know, let's just leave it at that.
Mm-hmm. All right, Noel. Mm-hmm. All right, thanks, Annie. Thanks, Noel, and thanks to you all for listening. And I hope everyone has a great week, and we'll see you next Monday.
Movie Crush is produced and written by Charles Bryant and Noel Brown, edited and engineered by Seth Nicholas Johnson, and scored by Noel Brown here in our home studio at Ponxty Market, Atlanta, Georgia, for iHeartRadio.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.